Welcome to The Word at First Pres. Our fall sermon series is called Come to Jesus Moments. Throughout this series, we will be having hard conversations about important issues that impact all of our lives. Thanks for listening.
I'm going to read our first lesson from Matthew chapter 26. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it by an oath, "I do not know this man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed, and then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from John chapter 12, where Jesus gives a new commandment to his disciples. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we've been doing a sermon series. What was it called? Do you all know? Come to Jesus Moments. Very good. All right. We only have three sermons left, including today. And we're through another sermon series. They come and they go so quick, don't they? So, this sermon series, Come to Jesus Moments, the idea behind this is that a Come to Jesus moment or Come to Jesus talk is where we have to have a difficult conversation about an important topic. And each week, we've been having these important conversations, sometimes about things that impact you personally, sometimes about things that impact Christianity and church, sometimes we're talking about things that impact culture and society, sometimes all three. And the hope is that with each of these, we're going to reflect on ways that we can change our lives in little, small, but just fractional ways that can hopefully impact people in bigger ways in our lives. Because if we don't talk about these things, then nothing is ever going to change. So this week, we're going to be talking about something that's an offshoot of what we discussed last week. Last week, we talked about this human propensity to kind of numb ourselves out. And we talked about how we feel this kind of lostness inside of us. Well, today we're going to be talking about the idea of how we, as people in our culture today, we struggle to have difficult, hard conversations within our relationships. And to begin this, I actually want to show you a video that I made almost 18 years ago. So for a little bit of context, I was working at Westminster Presbyterian Church and Westlake Village, California. This is when I was doing an internship. My wife was in law school. Westlake is a suburb of LA. And I was a youth intern at this church. So while we were there, this is the same church, by the way, just in case you're wondering, it's where I did flip the foosball table. I flipped it over. And if you remember in the sermons, that's what sent me to therapy for the first time. Did change my life in a big way. So when I was there, I played a lot of foosball with my boss before the flipping incident occurred, and we played it so much that our wrists actually started to hurt from, because you know when you're playing foosball, you're like, you're moving across the rods and you're turning the guys, and we joked that we needed some kind of wrist protector to help us because we were playing it so much, and this evolved into me writing a script for an infomercial, and then we filmed that script at some point, And I want to start by showing you that infomercial. Are you okay with that? All right, let's watch it.
Do you suffer from foosrist? Do you end up using the Lord's name in vain every time you defend a goal? When your opponent has just buried you in a tight game, do you wish you could rise again to fight another day?
Well, now you can with the foosrist protector!
With the foosrist protector's patented technology, you eliminate the unnecessary torque that so often happens during big points in games. As you can see from this demonstration, an accelerated rate of rotation may cause a player to extend far beyond the normal limits of foosability. Here you can see a wrist of a normal, healthy, beginner foosball player. But over time, the wrist can become over-torqued, resulting in the condition known as foosrist. Until now, surgery was the only available option for victims of foosrist. Rods had to be surgically implanted in the wrist or arm to reset the wrist to prevent over-torquing. Unfortunately, those people were never able to play foosball again. But now, like the deadly polio virus or smallpox, foosrist is a thing of the past.
Yes! I just scored a goal and I didn't feel any pain! Thanks, foosrist protector!
When you first start developing foosrist, you don't know what's going to happen. Are you going to have to go into retirement early? Lose your dreams of wealth and fame? Now with the foosrist protector, I know that I can go to my next tournament without any pain and that I can win.
Being only 12, I was so ashamed of my foosrist. I cut off all communication with my friends. I hadn't been out of the house for years, but now with the foosrist protector, I'm not scared anymore. With the foosrist protector, I have the confidence to be me again.
Yes, you too can now own the foosrist protector for 3 easy payments of $19.95. Act now, and we'll throw in the foosrist warm-up video for free. A $40 value, our gift to you.
Again, and circle left in 2, and 3, and box it, 1, 2, 3, box it, 1, 2, 3, right, 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 left, 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 keep working, right, right, right. Switch the hand and up.
It is such an easy thing to do. Just warm up before you play that game of foosball. Don't go in cold. That's how foosrist begins.
And up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down.
I get such a thrill out of knowing that I am helping so many people to achieve their dreams on the foosball table. Many people never find their purpose in life. That is so sad, because I know that I've found mine.
Flick it out, flick it out, flick it out. Box, 2, 3, 4. Box, 2, 3, 4. Box, 2, 3, 4. Box, 2, 3, 4. In circle.
Be one of the first 50 callers and receive the Foosrist Corporation's newest product, the Foosgirdle.
What's the matter, Jim?
Well, Ed, I got my foosrist protector on, but my foosback is killing me.
You know, Jim, I used to have that problem until I got the foosgirdle. Now my problems have gone away.
Why didn't I think of that? Where can I get one of those?
Call now and get the foosrist protector, the foosrist warm-up video, and the foosgirdle for only 3 easy payments of $19.95. Don't be the next person you know to succumb to the horrors of foosrist. Act now before the problem starts.
Call 1-800-222-2227 for the Foosers Protector, Foosers Warmer Video, and Foos Girdle for three easy payments of $19.95. The Foosers Protector may cause serious damage to your wrist. Certain people may experience loss of blood flow to the hand, resulting in necessary amputation. The Foos Girdle may cause certain vital organs to shut down when worn. If you're unable to speak while wearing the Foos Girdle, consult your physician. The Foosers Corporation denies all responsibility for fatalities resulting from our products. Call 1-800-222-2227. That's 1-800-222-2227. Again, that's 1-800-222-2227. Call now.
To this day, this remains one of my best pieces of writing I've ever done, I have to say. Now, why have I shown you this video? Well, one, it's just wonderful to watch, and it's good to see Courtney, right? Back in the day when she was doing it, she had to get into all my videos. But the second reason is because the Chinese guy who you saw in there, his name is Rick Lee. Rick was a really important part of that youth group. We spent a ton of time together. He was in all my videos. Like, he did everything for me. And we became really good friends. We were very, very close friends throughout most of our time together while we were there. And then, of course, I had to leave in 2005, and I went back to seminary, so I had to continue my education. And you know what happens when you leave? You try to keep in touch. And every time I would fly out to San Diego to see my in-laws, I'd travel up to LA to see him. I wanted to spend some time with him, and we did this for years. Until about the time that I came here, which was about 10 years ago, and I would call him, and he stopped returning my phone calls. And then I'd go into town, and I'd go into San Diego. I'd drive up there hoping that I would see him, and he wasn't there. He wouldn't talk to me. And it was a very interesting situation. I didn't quite know what to make of it at the time. And it hurt my feelings, to be honest. Like, the first year or two, I was like, okay, maybe he's just busy. But after about 3 or 4 years, you realize something's not quite right. And I didn't entirely know what was happening or why it was happening. I didn't know if it had to do with me or if it had something to do with him. I talked to people, and I was like, what's the deal? Why isn't Rick willing to meet with me? And they were like, I don't know. I can't tell you. I couldn't tell you why, what the situation is. I wish I knew. But they said he was going through a hard time, and I get that, right? Like, people go through hard times, but I didn't understand why that meant he had to kind of, like, sever our relationship. And I'm sure you've had this happen to you at some point or another, have you not? Have you had friendships? You thought you had a good relationship with someone, and all of a sudden, they just stopped talking to you. Now, there's a term for this. Do you know what that term is? It's called ghosting, right? And somebody ghosts you. So ghosting, it's when a person just stops communicating with someone with whom they've developed a relationship. So they're not returning your phone calls, text, emails, nothing. It's like they disappeared. And I think a big reason why this is happening today is because of the way that our culture has taught us to treat relationships. We treat relationships today like a consumer good, almost. So do you know what, like, you know what I mean? Like, what happens with a consumer good? So a consumer good is when you buy something, right? And you use it for a period of time, and then eventually what happens? You set it aside. When you no longer have utility for it, you just put it away. So I think that's how a lot of us treat our relationships today. So we have a relationship. When the relationship no longer serves our interest, we just set it aside. And I think one of the reasons why this happens, like a big reason at the core of this, is that we don't know how to have difficult conversations anymore. We've kind of lost this ability in our culture because every relationship, it does have some friction in it, right? Like, you're going to have friction. You're going to have points of disagreement. And I think that if you're in a relationship, and particularly if somebody has hurt your feelings, right? If somebody has kind of gone to a point where they've hurt you, you feel wounded by somebody, it can be hard to sit down and have a conversation with someone and have it be productive, particularly if you're hurt. Would you agree with that? Like, sometimes it's hard to have that conversation with somebody and really talk to them about, like, this is what you did to me, this is how I feel, right? So I think it's a lot easier for people in those situations to just extricate themselves from the relationship. And then they just stop talking about it, then they don't have to deal with it, and they can move on. Have you experienced this? Maybe you've done it yourself at some point. I know I have. I've done it at times where I'm just like, it's just easier for me not to talk about it. But this way of thinking, it's infected so much of our society. And it doesn't just impact friendships or your colleagues. It's big in dating right now. So, for instance, you know, you probably know today that the way a lot of people date, not everyone, but a lot of people, they date through apps, right? So you get on the app, you take some glamour shots of yourself, right, to look really, really good. And then you get matched up with people. And once you're matched up, You kind of talk and you have a conversation. And then eventually, if you like each other enough, you're going to meet in person. And I think most people expect that when you go out on a first date, it's not going to be fireworks all the time, right? Like, it's not going to be like the best thing ever. But let's say, for example, what happens? You go out on a date and one person likes it, the other person doesn't, right? So the person who liked it, they're going to say, hey, you think we can get together? Think we can meet again? And the other person, what should they say? What should they say? Hey, you know, I really appreciate that you took the time to get to know me. I really enjoyed getting to know you. Unfortunately, you know, I didn't feel the chemistry maybe that you did, but I would love to remain your friend. And, you know, but I don't feel like it's going to work for a romantic relationship. That's what you should say, something like that, right? But what do most people do in those situations? They ghost, exactly. They don't want to say it. They're like, so we go on that next date? Oh, sure. Yeah, no, we're going to go on that date. And then what do? They text. Nothing happens. Like, they don't respond until eventually they figure it out. Now, this is problematic for a number of different reasons. One, it's just rude, right? Like, it's rude to do. That person invested their time with you, right? They liked you. You should be able to communicate with them and just say, look, I'm sorry about that. But there's actually a bigger problem. And the bigger problem is how it impacts people down the line. Because if this is your mentality there, what's going to happen when you get into a relationship that you do like somebody? Now, every relationship has points of friction. Every relationship has points of conflict, argument, disagreement. Would you agree? I've had people, I don't know, is this true for you, Judy? You can tell me whether or not it is. I've had people sit in my office in funerals, spouses who have just lost somebody, and said, we never had a disagreement in our entire marriage. I don't say anything, but I'm thinking to myself, you are lying. Unless your husband had his mouth duct taped shut or he was dead, there is no way that you did not have a disagreement. Now, I would believe that perhaps you didn't have an argument. Like, I can understand that some people can go through their marriages without arguing with each other. That I believe. But I can tell you right now that everybody has disagreements. Human beings just disagree with each other. How you deal with those is a different thing, right? So if you're conflict avoiding, which a lot of people are, right? A lot of people are conflict avoiding. And you don't want to deal with whatever it is that's happening, what ends up occurring is that over time, things are going to boil up, right? Like, you're not going to deal with the problem directly, and you're going to set it aside and pretend like it doesn't exist. And eventually, it's going to boil over. Now, a couple of different things can happen. Oftentimes, it creates this big blow-up argument, but I've seen this is happening more now than ever before. And I'm talking about marriages, where you have children and shared assets. A person gets up and just leaves. And I've seen that happen. Like, multiple times. No explanation, just gone. And that's because it is being treated like a consumer product. Same thing happens in the church. Church is no different. In the church, what you see is, I've seen people who have been part of this church for decades up and leave. No explanation as to why. No sitting down saying, hey, this is what I'm feeling right now. Just gone. Now, I refer to this way of being as country club Christianity. Now, before I dive into this, I don't want anybody who belongs to a country club to feel like I'm attacking you. Full disclosure, I grew up going to a country club my whole life in Virginia, so I'm speaking from experience, okay? So, why do people join country clubs? They join a country club for two reasons. One, it's the services they provide, right? So maybe you like to golf, or maybe you like going to the pool, or maybe you like the food. My experience, the food was never very good, but that's okay, right? Depends on the country club you go to. So, those are the three services that they often offer. But more often than not, you're going to a country club because of the clout. Because it provides you with a network of people who can enhance your business, right? So what is a country club? It's a really kind of high-end social hub that people go to. And it enhances your life with these services and this networking. Now, that's how a lot of people think about Christianity in the church. 60 years ago in this church, when there were 3,000 people here, most people were here because this was a social hub. This church in particular had a lot of bankers in it. And so you came here, you had a lot of opportunity if you came to this church to get to know people. That's why people were here, right? So if this is the way that you kind of look at Christianity, if this is kind of your perspective on it, then what happens, right, when you come to a church and you start listening to the message? The message, right? You're here for the purposes of the social network that this provides. And then you hear a message, the fundamental message of Christianity. Well, and that message may not really align with why you're here. So what do you end up doing in that situation? How are you going to deal with it when maybe the message is secondary or it doesn't matter to you at all? How do you deal with that? And do you know what I mean by this when I'm talking about the message? We talked about it this morning. So we read from John's Gospel. And in John's Gospel, Jesus says, I have given you a new commandment. Let's look at that. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, this might sound familiar. You've been in church for a long time. You've heard love one another, haven't you? I mean, how often do you hear that? That's everywhere, right? This is much more radical than that. Because when you hear love one another, immediately your mind goes away and you're like, maybe, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just love one another. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And then he clarifies what he means, doesn't he? He says, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's a big deal. He's not just talking about love, like, oh, I'm going to love my neighbor. He's talking about a sacrificial love. He's talking about you're willing to put everything on the line. Now, that's a message, by the way, most people don't want to hear. That's a message that when you put that down, most people are going to be like, not for me. Particularly if you're into country club Christianity, right? And you come in and you kind of are like, I'm here for the social networking side of things. Are you going to want to hear this? And to be honest, like, let's put those people aside. Do most people generally want to hear that message? We talked last week about how Jesus says, oh, you have to deny yourself and you have to suffer, right? Like, and sacrifice. Most people don't want to hear that message. Jesus' disciples didn't want to hear that message. Those guys, think about it for a second. Those guys walked around with Jesus. They're walking around with him, right? He's talking. They're hearing the gospel from his mouth. They didn't want to do that. Perfect example, Peter, right? We read this morning. What'd you hear Judy read? Jesus is on trial and he's lurking in the background. Peter is. He's just kind of there, like lurking in the background. And somebody's like, hey, aren't you with him? And what does he do? Does he say, this is his opportunity. He can step up. He's been hearing about sacrificial love this whole time. He can embody that. He can step up and say, yeah, that's my guy. What does he do? What does he do? Does he say, yeah, Jesus is my, no, he doesn't. He doesn't deny him once. He denies him three times. And he ghosts him in the end. He's gone. So, think about this for a second. Jesus spent his entire ministry preaching about sacrificial love. And in the end, what happens? Everybody abandons him. Everybody abandons him. So, you have this guy, right, who's preaching these things, and nobody wants to do what he's saying. Nobody, even his disciples don't want to do it. Why? Why don't they want to? Because this kind of a message where you have to sacrifice, right? That requires a transformation on your part. You have to change if you're going to be that kind of person. That's not naturally how you are. You have to go through a transformation, and most people don't want to change and be different. Most people want to hear a message like this. This is what they want to hear. Most people want to come to church and hear this. You are a good person. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't change a thing about what you've been doing. You don't need to change at all. And by the way, if you're doing something bad, don't worry about it. Jesus is going to forgive you anyway, right? Now, that's the message most people want to hear. And to prove this to you, take my man, Joel Osteen. You know how much I love him. But Joel, he is the most popular preacher in this country. Hundreds of thousands of people listen to him every single week. And that is the message that he preaches. You're good as you are. You don't really need to change. But guess what? You can do a little better, right? You can do a little better. But don't worry, you're good. You're good. And that's what people like. Now, then you get somebody like me. I stand up here and I really believe very strongly in Jesus' message of sacrificial love. That is really, really important to me. And so I get up here, and every week you're hearing me preach about that stuff. And not just me. This isn't just for me. I'm asking you all to do that. I'm saying you need to be transformed. You need to be changed. I'm pushing you guys outside of your comfort zone. And do you know what I see happening? What I've seen happen over the 10 years I've been here is that the more that I preach that message of what Jesus talked about, that sacrificial love, the more people ghost the church. That's what I see. Exactly what happened to Jesus, by the way. The more he talked about it, the more people ghosted him. I see a one-to-one correlation. And I hear things through the grapevine. I hear people say, well, Alex's messages, they weren't for me. Or, you know, he wasn't really talking about things that were relevant to my life. Or, he's not really spiritual enough. That's the one where I'm like, really? Because I'm just saying what Jesus is saying. Like, I'm literally parroting what he's saying. So if I'm not spiritual enough, then Jesus isn't spiritual enough. And I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm just saying that I'm saying the things that he said. Now, what I think happens a lot of time, and people have trouble articulating this, is that my messages make people feel uncomfortable. That there's a certain level of discomfort. And if you're conflict avoidant, and you don't want to have, you don't want to sit down and have that discussion about why, you know, how you feel about those things, yes, it's going to be easier for you to leave. And I'll admit to you guys, I'm going to say right up front, I absolutely preach to make you feel uncomfortable. Every week, it is intentional I do that. Do you know why I do that? Because that's what Jesus did. Like, if you think I make people feel uncomfortable, ooh, read what Jesus said. That guy, he went for the jugular. He didn't care. So I'm like light compared to him. But why did he do it? He did it because he believed that by pushing you to a place of discomfort, it would cause you to reflect on your life. And then you could become the best version of yourself, because once you're willing to reflect, you can embrace that sacrificial love. That's why he did it. And it does work. A lot of people don't want to do that work, but it does work. Which brings me to my come to Jesus moment for today. Which is that every relationship, I don't care whether we're talking about a relationship that is with a spouse, a partner, whether we're talking about your children, whether you're talking about a coworker, a friend, this church, the people in here, me, every single relationship is hard work. All of them are. Relationships take work and effort, and you have to be willing to sacrifice for your relationships. That is so very important. Sometimes you have to sacrifice in huge ways, and you have to have those hard conversations. So if your inclination is to run the other way when you have to have those hard conversations, you're going to miss out on the fullness and beauty of your relationships. Because have you ever noticed this happens? I think this is fascinating. Have you ever had a conflict with somebody who you really care about, and you sit down and you have that hard conversation? It's the worst in the moment, isn't it? Like when you actually have to have it, it's the worst. But once you're on the other side of that, if you've had a productive conversation, then don't you feel more bonded to that person after you've been through it? Like, yes, it's horrible in the moment, but once you're on the other side, it's so much better. So you gotta be willing to stick it out. You gotta be willing to have those difficult conversations. You have to be willing to sacrifice for your friends and your family and your children and your church. You gotta be willing to do those things. Because when you come to those tough moments of friction, if your inclination is to run the other way, you gotta stop yourself. Because life is so much more vibrant and enjoyable when you do it. And I want to end this morning by telling you a little bit more about my relationship with Rick Lee. So, I still haven't seen Rick for 10 years. But for my 40th birthday, Courtney, that was a couple of years ago, by the way, unfortunately. But for my 40th birthday, Courtney, she went to all the people who I knew through my past, all the people who I was close to. And she said, would you be willing to write a letter to Alex, letting him know what your relationship meant to you? Like, can you talk about that? And so she sent this out to a lot of different people. Not everyone responded, but Rick Lee did respond. And actually, the letter he wrote was one of the nicest letters that I received. And I want to read you just a little portion from that. Before Big Al, he used to call me Big Al. That was my name back at WPC. Before Big Al became the man he is today, he too had his come to Jesus moments. He's talking about flipping the foosball table. I like to believe as much as I learned from him, he learned from us, meaning his West Coast family of WPC. We had all sorts of deep conversations, whether discussing religion or politics, to drinking and socializing, or just how we can make a difference in the community amongst the church we worship at. Big Al is my bro. I'm so proud of him and his accomplishments. He will continue making a positive difference in this world that we live in, as will his wife and kids. That was really a nice thing for him to do. Yes, he ghosted me. But he took the time to write this letter, which really meant a lot to me, because it showed me that even though we hadn't had a relationship, he still cared about that relationship. And that took some courage on his part, because he knew how his actions had hurt me. But he took the time to write this out. And I think that's the kind of courage we need to have. We need to have the courage to be willing to have those hard conversations, because hard conversations and sacrificial love, those go hand in hand, my friends. They go hand in hand. If you truly believe in sacrificial love, you're going to have those hard conversations. And yes, they are so difficult to have in the moment. They're not fun. Nobody likes to do them. But the world is so much more vibrant and enjoyable when you're on the other side of it. And I think that's the kind of lives that Jesus wants for us. And it's the kind of life that I want for you. So thank you. And I hope that we will stop ghosting each other and just have those really difficult conversations. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.